This meeting is now being recorded.
All right, so Judge Earl? Ms. Carter?
Here.
Judge Bloom? Judge Herman?
Here.
Judge Johnson? Judge Maragonda?
Here.
Judge McCabe? Ms. Fleming?
Here.
Mr. Planet? Mr. Taylor?
Here.
And Mr. Yamasaki?
I'm here.
Six.
Do we have a quorum?
This is Mike Planet.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say with Mr. Planet, we definitely have a quorum.
Okay, sounds good. And do you want to introduce the Judicial Council staff on the line?
Yes. We have several offices that have staff listening in. In case there's any questions on the IMS allocation, I'll start with the IT staff first, if they wouldn't mind introducing themselves.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Virginia Sanders-Hines. I'm with Information Technology.
And David Kuhn with Information Technology.
Robert O. Young, I'm the CIO.
All right. And is there anyone from legal listening in?
Yes. Good afternoon. This is Eric Schnurfile, Deputy Chief Counsel.
Thank you. And how about CEJR?
Yes, this is Gavin Lane. I work operations and budgets for CEJR.
All right. Thank you very much. Are there any offices I missed?
Just real quick, this is John Conklin calling in just to listen in as chair of TICBAC, but I will not make any trouble.
Oh, thank you, Judge. Appreciate that. All right. Oh, yes, and with me in Sacramento are?
Zlatko Thudorovich.
Donna Newman. Natalie Daniel. Angela Guzman.
And I'm Suzanne Bohuffy. And how about San Francisco offices?
We have Lucy Fogarty.
Brandy Sanborn.
Oh, and Amanda's here.
All right. Thank you very much.
And anybody else who announced? We heard some dings coming.
This is Judge Earl. All right. Thank you, Judge.
Excellent.
Just briefly want to go over housekeeping items while we're on the phone call. As a reminder, this meeting is open to the public and is being recorded. Members of the public can join the call via listen-only code, permitting them to join and leave at any time without notice or interruption. Please identify yourself prior to speaking for the benefit of all participating and listening to the meeting. We ask that you please place your phones on mute when not speaking to avoid background noise. Please do not place us on hold at any time during the meeting to avoid distractions caused by on-hold music. Oh, and there were no public comments received. That was not in the right order. we'll defer to one of the co-chairs if there's one to request a motion to approve the May 13th meeting minutes.
I'm sure Judge Earl would join me in welcoming such a motion to approve the minutes.
Absolutely.
Yamasaki moves approval.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Rebecca Fleming, no second.
Are there any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. And as I just noted previously, there were no written comments received prior to this meeting for discussion. With such, we can move on to agenda item number one, allocations from the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund for 2017-2018. Oh. Okay. Sherry and Judge Earl, because we included the TCTF fund condition statement, we have Zlatko here and are ready to address any concerns because we're not addressing TCTF allocations at this meeting. But he did want to just provide some history and some background, if that's okay with you, before moving on to agenda item one.
I think it makes sense, Judge Earl, if you agree, to start with that first.
And you're going to review the fund condition statement, Zlatko?
Yeah, just in brief and sort of what our work is ahead of us.
That'd be great.
As we prepare for the next meeting. So okay. for history's sake, and I think this is important to understand.
And it's on page.
Is attachment F?
It's 14, attachment 1F.
So as we will move on to the IMF. The IMF was for some number of years the was good enough to provide $20 million of revenue from the IMF to offset trial court trust fund general fund reductions as a way to shortstop any additional allocation reductions to the trial courts. As though the IMF revenues were declining over the years and we were utilizing all of our fund balance, it became clear that there was going to need to be some solution in the IMF. And while there were multiple and numerous hard cuts that were made in the IMF, one recommendation out of this body that was taken to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee and ultimately approved by the Council and then reflected in the Annual Budget Act was a cessation of this $20 million transfer from the IMF to the TCTF. That meant, though, then that obviously there was a benefit to the IMF and its operations, and we can see the fruits of that labor here today in the presentation that will be made in a minute. But what we do have to deal with and what we knew at that time when we made this recommendation was that there would have to be some adjustments to expenditures on the TCTF side of the house. And so as part of the $20 million back then, there were, I believe, about $7 million worth of IT expenditures. And I apologize, I don't have the exact numbers. But there were a certain amount of information technology expenditures that were currently, or at that time, were in the TCTF. And the thought was to bring all of technology-related expenditures into one fund. So there was a net at that time about a $13 million hole that folks knew on the horizon would need to be dealt with. Since that time, there have been a few allocation adjustments in terms of savings, reducing historical expenditure levels. For example, there were anticipated expenditures in compensation for Superior Court judges that was not being spent at the full level that was able to be realigned. We had jury expenditures that were also being realigned. So we did make some adjustments to bring certain expenditures down. But now what we're looking at is if you look at the bottom of the fund condition statement, you talk about a structural shortfall. It's, you know, just for planning purposes, is, you know, a $7.5, $8, $10 million roundabout number that would need to be dealt with. And there are options, as there always have to be, in dealing with these issues. And subsequent to the discussion that the Budget Advisory Committee had about its BCPs and all of its various needs, obviously there was a discussion about what would be that TCTF trial court operations budget change proposal. And so hopefully if I took it upon myself to add a solution onto that list for this shortfall as part of that BCP that's being presented to the JBBC, Judicial Branch Budget Committee when they consider budget change proposals. So clearly one of the options would be to return to the state and the Department of Finance and the legislature and ask for them to fill this hole. So we've put that as one option to address this shortfall as we go forward. Obviously, in the event that that's not a successful effort, and we're not able to secure those backfills, then we'd have to look at the line items that are on the fund condition, some of which are fairly fixed and at their low points. So I'd say that that's the work and the thought that we need to think about as we head into the next committee meeting. At this point, we feel like we can fully fund current year and budget year allocations, given the available fund balance that's there, but we really have a problem starting 18, 19, and out in needing to realign those expenditures. So that's the history. I think it's important for all the members to understand how we got to this position and what we knew the work would be, and hopefully the work that to come would be in convincing the folks to submit a BCP and ultimately find the difference in the allocations needed to keep this fund solvent.
So, Zlatko, this is Sherry. For clarification, are you thinking that this is something we need to address at our in-person meeting in April, or are you thinking it would be in the fall because we will not know about the BCPs at that point?
I mean, I think that it's always important to have conversations about it. I mean, as long as the committee and obviously Judge Conklin sees fit that I took the step of adding that item to the BCPs, that would be our one option. I mean, as we've talked about in the past, is that we go with our first and most critical option would be asking the state for the resources. To the extent that that's not successful, I think the sooner that we're planning for this, the better. But I don't know if April would be too soon. I think it'd probably be setting the stage at our next revenue and expenditure subcommittee. And you could maybe have some assignments coming out of that to really look at the line items so that if we have a fall meeting, then we can...
If it's not approved, then we'll have the information we need to make the decisions we have to make.
Right. Perfect. Yeah, we want to be...
Mm-hmm. I think that sounds like a good plan.
Okay.
And Sherry, I promise not to contribute, but I couldn't help myself. We've got a general take-back meeting in mid-April, and we can somehow put this on for a discussion item or at least discuss it at the end if you and Judge Earl think that's advisable.
You know, I think my suggestion, and of course I am always I wish Judge Earl and I were in the same room, but I think that we should do the work at the April meeting first about the trial court trust fund and wait and see what the BCP does. I think Zlatko in his general update on the budget could tell the trial court budget advisory committee of the potential hole, but we won't know enough by that meeting to really do much.
Good plan.
And to me, it's always better to put things on people's radar, not as alarmists, but as realists, and understanding that we need to be prepared. There's so many things that are going to happen between now and July 1st when the budget is enacted, not even related to this back bill, but rather what happens with the driver's license holds, any other legislative actions that can occur, and even then in September, depending on what happens with the multiple pieces of legislation that are impacting trial court revenues and criminal fines and fees as a whole. So I think, again, raising the flag of concern is also shows that we are aware and engaged in looking for solutions.
And Sherry, this is Suzanne. Just also a point of clarification. We were planning on bringing the TCTF allocations to the R&E committee in May for a June tick back for a July Judicial Council meeting. Are you wanting another meeting also in April as prep work for the meeting?
No, I think our live, don't we have an in-person meeting? When is that scheduled? I thought it was April.
We have a...
Well, in-person tick-back meeting is the 13th of April.
That's right.
So we could bring it as informational in terms informing the body about
and
the,
then wait and see.
The issues.
Yeah.
Yep.
So is there anything else I could answer? Please let me know. I'm here for the duration and hope I can be helpful.
So, Zlatko, we're going to move on to the first agenda item, and I wondered if someone could, before we get into the details, walk us through the fund condition statement and let us know kind of what we're looking at for next fiscal year.
Sure. This is Suzanne. So the fund condition statement is found on page 13 of your agenda item. And it includes what has been allocated through the council in the June allocation for 16-17, as well as adjustments to that allocation that were made by the council for, like, the litigation management program and for Humboldt and Madera. Let me find my notes. I was going to go in order, so I'm put off. Here we go. Never mind. So it also has prior year expenditures for 14-15 and 15-16, as well as the allocations for 17-18 through 19-20. And most of those allocations were brought forward by the office. We have broken some things out for you specifically to see. If you look at line 12 for the state general fund in 1617 through 1920, you'll see the funds going up and down, and it's based on the BCPs that we have in there. For example, the 1617 includes the $12.4 million of general fund for the B3 CMS BCP, which goes down in 2017-18 to 9.2. But at the same time, we've also built in, assuming we're going to get the sustained justice CMS BCP approved, another $4.2 million in funding for that. So we have built in the revenue coming in from the general fund, assuming that we will be getting that BCP approved. The total expenditures, the allocations less specific line items can be found in line 18 going across. We have broken out certain line items for you to see clearer, such as this California Courts Protective Order Registry request from IT. That's on line 19. Line 20 includes the request from legal for an increase in their litigation management program for costly settlements and law cases, moving from 4.1 to 4.5. Line 21 and 22 include those things that have already been approved by the Council for the Litigation Management Program and the Humboldt-Madera CCTC allocations. We've also included on line 26 encumbrances that are to be liquidated and program identified savings. The unliquidated encumbrances, part of those savings we'll go over briefly in the informational item, but those are things that the program has identified as savings that they will not be using out of their 16-17 allocations and or old encumbrances from 14-15 and 15-16 that will be liquidated and can add to the fund condition, the bottom line. We have a fund balance, estimated fund balance in 16-17 of $5.9 million approximately. We look like we're going to have a $6.2 million fund balance in 17-18, dropping in 18-19 partly because of a potential litigation issue to $3.6 million, and then going back up again in 1920 to $8.3 million. Are there any questions concerning the fund condition statement?
This is David. Thank you very much, Suzanne. I don't have any questions, but I just had suggestion, Judge Earl and Sherry. I heard Suzanne mention that on line 12, what's coming from the state general fund that brings us up to $56 million includes the BCP for the V3 courts?
Yes, like the next year is the potential BCP for sustained.
Yeah, so it almost looks like, as it's presented, that it's part of the just general allocation where, in reality, it's very specifically earmarked. Would it be clearer if we would have listed it as a, let's say, 12A with the description of what that is as opposed to just, you know, dumping it into the
I think that's a good point. And actually, it should list it under expenditures because the $12 million is already spent. Just like for 17-18, I'm assuming if we don't get the BCP, we'll have to decide, you know, what we're going to – or have we – we've already approved a sustained court, so never mind. But
yeah,
I think that's a good point. I think that's a really good point.
It's not necessarily spent, but it's essentially encumbered perhaps.
Yeah, sure.
Sure, we can add some detail on the general fund transfers in on when they're for specific purposes.
Yeah, I just think it might be easier to track as fluctuations in that line item come in so that we can, you know, we can very reasonably understand where that money, some of that money is actually slated to go.
And can I ask a clarifying question? Suzanne, the $12 million, help me remember, and David, you probably know this, isn't it $4 million a year for 3 years?
It's different for the different courts depending on
the
project.
What's the total for the branch, though, per year?
it's not an even amount. It's,
no,
it's like 12, 9, and 4.
Yeah.
Over the course, and it declines over the years is what the budget.
And the
and I'm assuming then that those amounts are in line 12.
Yes, they are.
All the way across. So
and
probably,
they just,
and are 19, they
20
included, are they included in the expenditure line on 27?
Yes.
In other words, recognizing that the CCMS money is encumbered or designated for a specific purpose, if you're showing it on line 12 as a revenue or as a, well, are you showing it as an expenditure somewhere or an obligation?
Yes, it would be showing up in the line 18, actually.
Okay. Even though it doesn't list them, that's where it would be.
That's where it would be, yes.
Okay.
And you can see the detail on it if you go to table 1D. Which is the allocation comparison between 16-17 current allocations and the proposed 17-18 allocations. If you were to go to the IT section, line 31 is the sustained justice, and what was the other one? Line
23.
Line 23 is the V3 BCP, and those totals then roll into the fund condition statement.
This is Liz Johnson. There is also the footnote 2 on attachment 1E, which references the sustained amounts.
Yes. Do we have any other questions on the fund condition statement?
So, Suzanne, thank you for that. Is there, do you or anyone else have additional comments regarding the allocation recommendations that are included in our materials?
Does anyone want to hear from the offices on the recommendations?
I have a question for Rob on the CCPOR. When we get to that point, if anyone has any questions before that.
I guess you're it.
Okay. So, Rob, I am a big supporter of CCPOR, so I don't want you to think that I'm not. I think it's one of the best programs that we offer. My concern is that we're adding two additional courts, and I just want to ensure that there is a larger plan to bring all 58 counties up, because I think one of the problems that we've had is by having these, quote, pilots where we have limited number of courts on programs that are supported by the branch with our limited funding without giving all 58 counties the benefit of that program. CCPOR is one of those. So while I see that we're just bringing up Sacramento and Orange, what is the long-term strategy to bring up all 58 counties? Where will that money come from? So that's the first question. And the second one is, will it increase our ongoing expenses?
Okay, sure. So to answer the two questions, and I'll defer to some of the numbers to David, but David Kuhn. But in terms of the plan that we have going forward, we have a consistent plan on onboarding the remaining courts to CCPOR. We've got the two that you've seen here. We've got several that have that are coming up soon, and David can give you sort of the detail in terms of the remainder. However, you know, even with the two that are coming on board, we're able to actually reduce the cost of the overall program in terms of some of the storage negotiations that we're having with the data centers in order to basically be able to bring these two courts on board. Moving forward, what we've actually done for next fiscal year and the years following that, we've proposed a initial fund request for basically a BCP for the ongoing maintenance and administration of CCPOR. So we believe that over the next 2 years or so, we can complete the actual onboarding of the remaining courts. And then what we would want to do is we want to actually pull the funding source out of the IMF for the ongoing running of CTPOR and basically request a BCP for some ongoing funds for the maintenance of that program, of which the primary expense there is really in the storage of the digitized documents. And maybe, David, you can give a quick overview of the numbers in terms of courts remaining and courts we have on schedule.
Yes, Jeff. Good afternoon, everyone. So basically, we have 15 courts which are not yet part of the CCPOR program. So the Orange and Sacramento court, the two that we talked about in 17-18, that would take two down. We also have a grant, some grant funding for 8 of the additional courts from the Department of Justice, I believe that is. And then that would basically leave about 5 courts, I think, 4 courts that we would need. And these would be the courts that would remain are the larger courts, such as the LA, the San Diego's, et cetera. So those courts would need to be brought on. And from that standpoint, that does increase the ongoing expense, but looking to address that with the BCP that Rob raised.
So let me make sure I understand. I do appreciate the work you've done, Rob and others, in reducing your program, your overall program expenses. I did see that, and I really think you've done a great job in doing that, and I know that's helped to offset some of the costs to do these implementations. My question is really more, unless there's an assurance to make sure this is a statewide program, I just have heartburn bringing on more courts unless there's a plan in place where everyone is going to have an advantage of having this program. And I think what I'm hearing you say, David, is that you have grant funding for 8, so that won't cost the branch for those implementations, and the remaining 5, and I think those 5 are around $13 million, aren't they, to implement? Around
not
that?
$15 million, no.
15? And those are dependent on a BCP, right?
So basically the remaining 5, I think we're looking at about $50,000 to bring those on. And
not LA. I've seen my numbers. It's $50,000 wouldn't be right for LA, even by itself. But anyway, that's dependent. I think the numbers I saw were closer to $13 million. But whatever it is, whether it's $100,000 or $13 million, that money, well, I guess that is a big difference. But it would be dependent on a BCP not only to implement those 5 remaining large courts, but also for the ongoing costs.
So, yes. So there is at this point the funding for bringing on those 5 additional courts. There has been no funding identified for it. So whatever that number ends up being, we need to look for a funding source.
Which is what the vehicle, the BCP, would be to do.
I understand. I just have personal heartburn in expanding programs. Sorry, in expanding programs for which we don't have funding sources to, A, provide to all 58 counties equally, and, B, to provide ongoing expenses. So that's my heartburn.
Makes sense.
Does anyone else have any questions for operations staff who are on the line about any of the recommendations? No?
Nope.
All right. Thank you for making them available for us. Was there any more, Zlatko or Suzanne, that you wanted to add before we open it up for discussion?
No, this is Suzanne, of course, not Zlatko. No, there was really nothing else to add. We were pretty clear. Most of the offices are getting the same level of funding. The only two offices that had really any sort of change in net funding were legal, which has a net increase of about $84,000 or $85,000 between their savings and their ask. And then information technology, which overall is a reduction of about $3.8 million. Total in from the savings that they've realized in their allocation. So with that, I can leave it open for discussion.
Can I ask one more question? What is the ongoing increased cost for Sacramento and Orange to join CCPOR? Is it insignificant because you've already got the platform and the people in place?
Yeah. Hi, it's Virginia, Sherry. And the ongoing cost, we're looking at somewhere in the realm of $40K per year.
Just for those two courts?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone have any questions or anybody have any thoughts about the recommendations for the IMF allocations? So, Suzanne, are the allocations included on attachment, are all allocations reflected on attachment 1D?
Yes.
And what page is that on?
What? 12?
12. And are you asking us to make the recommendations for the amounts reflected in column G?
In column G? Yes.
G as in George?
G as in George for $73.46 million.
Is there anyone have any questions about those? Is there a motion to...
You know, Judge Earl, I would suggest you take them one at a time because I have different feelings on each proposal.
All right, so option two of the item on page six says 2017-18 allocations for all programs except for Legal Services Office and Information Technology for a total amount of $11,416,969.
We need a motion to approve that.
That's page six?
Yes.
Item two.
Page six, item under fiscal 2017-18 allocations, number two item.
This is Yamasaki. I'll move approval.
Are we just talking about 2A, or are we talking about all of 2?
All of 2, because 2B is, we can do separate. 2B
I would
do include,
it separate.
Okay.
B or not B.
2A then, but that A includes B, which is the reallocation of some of Seizure's items for a net zero increase in Seizure's total allocation.
And so not including 2C.
Not including 2C.
So do you want me to revise my motion?
Please.
To move to approve items 2A and 2B?
Planet second.
Who is that?
Planet.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Was that an opposition that I heard or not? No. All right. What about 2C?
The IT has identified $45,000, $45,532 in savings for the IT element of the Phoenix program to recognize cost savings. So we would be lowering the appropriation the allocation by that.
This is David. I'll move approval of item C, 2C.
Second, Herman.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Item 3 deals with allocations for Legal Service Office. Is there any discussion on either A through D?
This is Planet. I would move approval of item 3, A, sections A through D.
It's Marigondel, second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Moving on to number four, allocations for information technology. Does anyone want to talk about any specific recommendation?
So it won't surprise you, this is Sherry, that I have concern with 4E, dealing with expanding CCPOR until we have a more solid plan on implementing the other courts as well as ongoing expenses. So I support the program 100%. I was a pilot court when I was in Riverside. I think it's very valuable, but I think that we need to have a plan to expand it to all 58 counties as well as identifying a funding source to sustain the program once we're all up. Even for the, if it's $40,000 for Orange and Sacramento, even if we have grant funding for the implementation of eight more, do we know what their potential ongoing costs would be at that point?
Well, could we handle that with another recommendation kind of as modified, that to recommend to tasking the finance office with developing a funding plan for the other courts and a funding source for ongoing support of CCPOR?
I think we should. It's just that I would be curious, do we know what the ongoing cost is for the eight that have a grant for the implementation?
Hi, Sherry, it's Virginia again, and we do have that number.
Yes, this is David. So for those eight courts, those are really, most of them are very, very small courts, so they are basically combined to represent a ongoing increase in cost of $4,000 a year.
Oh, okay. Not a problem. So then it's really the big courts at the end.
That's correct.
Yep. So, Judge Earl, I'm sure I'm the only one that's going to have concern with E. You probably could do A through D if somebody feels so inclined, and then I would just suggest taking E separately.
Okay, we can do that. Is there a motion as to items 4A through D?
So this is Yamasaki. I'll move approval of items 4A through D.
Is there a second?
Planet seconds.
Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. So 4E. Is there a motion, let me ask, to approve 4E?
So this is David. I'll go ahead and, Yamasaki, I'll move approval of 4E, and I certainly understand the concern over long-term funding. I guess I'm kind of outweighing the benefit to public safety, and there's so many things that we do within this trust fund that help one another, and this is one of those things that really helps the community, and that's why I'm moving approval of item 4E, realizing that there is a big question. $40,000 expenditure is being requested for this particular item, and let's see how it goes, see if it's seconded.
Jim Herman, I'll second.
Is there any other discussion on that? So we'll call a vote on item 4E. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye. And so we have a plan for the whole state.
Yeah, and I would add, I think that in fairness to Sherry's point, which I think is fair, that we should work, you know, budgets and IT work on that, as it would be necessary as part of any BCP development anyways. So hopefully I'm not speaking too much on behalf of Rob in that. We'll work with you, Sherry, to identify those costs and where we think this will go and how it works out.
Oh, I know. I'm supportive of the program. I just think this is – our branch has been in trouble before for not having funding sources for our automated programs.
Agreed.
We just need to make sure we have one in place And when you talk about public safety and you're an you're excluding the five largest courts or five of the largest courts, you're really not allowing judges from around the state to see a big chunk of those orders.
Yeah, and I think of all the things that we submit for BCP, this seemingly would be a supported activity in Sacramento. So I hope that we can put this thing forward. I know it's not a big ticket item, but except for the fact that bringing some of the largest courts on board will be a pretty significant cost. But this should get some level of support, hopefully, when that request is made.
Yeah, this is Rob Young. I would also mention that from a sponsorship perspective, we do have sponsorship from JCTC to move forward with this as a branch-wide program. So we do have support there. I would also say that we're looking at this from a phase-wise implementation, and so we do have money to do the next wave of implementation, but I do recognize Sherry's concern regarding the funding required for that last set of large courts. And so that's where we'll work with LATCO on the BCP, which we were already planning to do to make sure that we've got funding to cover that last wave of implementation.
Great. Thank you. I wasn't sure, Suzanne, on page 7 of the materials where after item 4, what that allocation recommendation is.
That was you handled it separately by the individual items. So that's fine. We're covered there.
So we completed item 1?
We have completed item 1.
Okay.
And item 2, it was if you and Sherry had any discussion items that you wanted to bring up.
I don't. Sherry, do you?
No, I don't.
Was there anything else we needed to address today?
The last thing is the informational one on the unliquidated encumbrance report, item 3.
Perfect. Well, let me go back before we do that. Do you anticipate we will need another meeting? You said your suggestion is in May to deal with the TCTF?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and that will go to the council in July?
That's correct.
Okay. And do you anticipate that that can be accomplished by a conference call as well? An hour and a half meeting or so?
LATCO is shaking his head yes. So seeing that this is a first time through on doing CCTF allocations, I'm going to defer to LATCO's opinion.
Okay, perfect. Then we'll move on to item 3.
Item 3, all right. So item 3, which starts on is there page 16, I think. Got to move. Yes, it starts on page 15, is the unliquidated encumbrance report. This goes, as directed by the Judicial Council, staff are to submit this report 2 times a year, first in September for encumbrances through June 30th, and then again in March for encumbrances through December 31st of the current fiscal year and the prior 2 fiscal years. Last year, TICVAC approved that the staff report this information to the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee. There are 3 summary tables which provide information regarding the number of open contracts, amounts, and preliminary estimated savings by fiscal year. We are primarily looking at 14-15 and 15-16 information. Because 16-17 is still an open year, we're really not looking at including any savings information unless the different programs identified a contract which they were not going to be using. So Table 1, as I said, identifies, which is Table A, which is on page 15, provides this information by office and by fund and separates the savings that are possible from the different encumbered amounts from restricted versus unrestricted savings. So if you look in column G, the IMF has identified unrestricted savings in column G for like information technology, $737,000, They are the primary savings. Many of the offices identified no savings in IMS for that. And then column H is TCTF unrestricted savings, and column I combines those restricted savings. So those are items where the funding, like equal access, or I might be getting my funds mixed up. They are reserved, so you cannot use them for any other purpose. Table D gives you another version of this information, combining the funds by office by fiscal year. And then finally, table C breaks it down by fund. So TCTF at this point, for our consideration when we talk in May, has identified about $920,000 or $2 million in savings of unliquidated encumbrances that, were they to be disencumbered, could add to the fund balance. And then starting at the top of, or at the bottom of table, or page 19 and going on to the rest of 19, those are, IMF has identified, program has identified $1 million in savings, and those savings were included in the fund balance that you looked at earlier for IMF. And then table D just is a list of encumbrances by officers and the type of services and contracts that are supplied. Are there any questions on the information provided in these unliquidated encumbrance reports?
Do we need to make a motion for you to do anything with them? It seems like we do, Zlatko, from last year.
I thought it was just in the direct. The direction was for us to do the reports. That was what the prior council action was.
Got it.
Now we're just providing, because we then include those estimates that roll into the fund commission.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
got it.
I think in the past that these might have been overlooked and not included in the fund condition statement. This is just to make sure on a yearly basis, twice a year, that we are including them, if possible, into the fund condition so we can see if there's any savings that help our fund balance.
So any questions regarding the encumbrance report? Well, thank you for that, Suzanne. Are there any other issues that any of our members want to discuss?
Then I thought the materials were really well done, Suzanne and staff, so good job.
Thank you, Sherry. And apologies for the late notification and getting them out. Appreciate your patience as we learn how to do this. Get them out a few more times.
Well, then, if that's it, I think we are done. So thank you all for making yourself available, and you can hear from us probably in April or so with a date for May that we'll try to do over the lunch hour again.
Yeah. All right.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank
you.
Bye-bye.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you, and goodbye.